Happy New Year. It's good to be with you guys again. It's a great story, Terry. Thank you for sharing that with us. God is good all the time. I had a couple of other good stories just happened over Christmas. We celebrated three birthdays over Christmas. We had John on the 23rd of January, who was born in Kathmandu. Sorry, December even. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that word of correction. Emmanuel was born on Christmas Day, and of course we had Jesus to celebrate as well, his birthday. So that was good. But before we celebrated the birthdays, I had someone come around our house on the day before, on the 22nd, said they got a job after being unemployed for a year. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful, bringing hope to that family for this Christmas. And then I heard this Christmas Eve, a baby that I've been praying for, some of you guys have probably been praying for as well, a young girl called Evie, who we've been praying for since July, since she was born in July, just 3 pounds something, struggling to survive open heart surgery, just a month or two old, and things like that. She went home Christmas Eve. Yay. They had Christmas at home. So that is, these things buoy your heart. If you think about those kind of stories, they lift you, don't they? They lift you. And we let other things get in the way. We think about some of the struggles. It brings us down. And, I think I've got an important message to share this morning. I had quite a lot of difficulty preparing it. And in my preparations this morning, I felt like I should read this passage from Luke 19, which has got nothing to do with my talk. And I thought, am I going to weave my points of my talk into this passage? That's obviously what it's going to be, Lord. You've given me this wonderful passage, which is going to help me to bring out all the points from my sermon. I couldn't do it. I wrestled with it for about 3/4 of an hour. I thought, no, I can't do it. And then we were praying before the meeting this morning with some guys out the back there, which everyone's welcome to join us, by the way, at 9:45 for prayer before the service. It's a good place to come. It's always horrible to turn up to a meeting just rushing in and sitting down. You're never really ready for it. But when you spend a few minutes in prayer, suddenly the spirit's quiet and then you're ready to receive from the Lord straight away. But we were praying and that passage came back to me again. And again I thought, I can't share that. I'm not... But again, as we were worshipping, the passage came back to me again. And I thought, okay, Lord, I can't let this go. And I'm going to read it. And I feel that there's someone here who needs to hear it this morning. That's the only thing I can think. So if you bear with me. It's from Luke 19, and it's about a guy called Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. He, that's Jesus. In fact, can we all close our eyes? Just a second. Just I want us all to imagine that we are Zacchaeus, just for a moment. We're the chief tax collector. Very wealthy guys. Very wealthy man. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. And was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. Just put yourself in that place for a moment. You're a small man, there's a big crowd. You're trying to see what's going on. You're trying to see who this Jesus is. You've heard a lot about him. You don't know him, and you're trying to see, but you can't because there are too many people around. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. I just think that there's a person here, maybe one or two people here this morning, who are feeling like Zacchaeus. Surrounded by people who are excited about Jesus, surrounded by people who are excited about something, but they just can't see it. Or maybe you have been excited about Jesus, but at the moment you just can't see it. struggling to see it, struggling to experience it, struggling to feel his presence, struggling to see Jesus. If that is you, still keep your eyes closed. If that is you, I'd like you to raise your hand now, please. Thank you. Thank you. In raising your hand, you are doing what Zacchaeus has just done. You've climbed a sycamore tree. You've said, I want to see Jesus. You've been brave. And this is how Jesus responded to this chief tax collector. And remember that tax collectors, you are hated by the people you live amongst because you are rich and you get your riches from them, from their hard work. And you serve the Romans, the people that are oppressing you, your people. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. This is what Jesus is saying to each of you guys that put your hands up. Today I must stay at your house. Today I want to come and be with you. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, the crowd that is, they all began to grumble, saying, he's gone to be with a guest, to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you put your hand up, you need to know that the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save you. We celebrated his death on the cross earlier, and that's a strange thing to celebrate. But the reason we celebrate it is because that death brings us life. The blood of Jesus brings us life. Jesus hung on the cross because he loved you so much. And today he wants to come into your heart. Today he wants to stay at your house. Today he wants to bring salvation to you, peace to you, joy to you, love to you, freedom to you, health to you, healing to you, freedom to you, joy to you, everlasting. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love Jesus. It's nearly a year, you know, guys, since I took on the leadership of Maidenhead. It has flown by. Really fast. And, you know, I've got a lot to be grateful for. I think we have a lot to be grateful for in 2010. You know, when I look back, I've enjoyed it a lot. I've enjoyed doing Santa's on the Street. I enjoyed Santa's on the Street too. You know, we had slightly fewer of us. We had about 40 of us this time and slightly few shoppers. But, you know, being out there amongst the snow, handing out cups of hot chocolate, singing our hearts out with carols, handing out the good news was a privilege. And to see people grumpily trudging along and having their faces light up when they come across us was a joy. We were good news to them. I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it too. Those of you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you for being a blessing on the High Street of Maidenhead. I really enjoyed the Larchville Festival last summer. Really thoroughly enjoyed it. It felt so good to spend a weekend blessing that community of people. Just giving to them. Giving of our lives, giving of our time, giving of our finances to make it happen was a joy. I just want to honour James again for all the work he did. Is James here? Is he out with the children? James, I just want to honour you again for leading us in that, for the time you gave, the sacrifice you made in leading us through. You know, we really honour you for that. Thank you so much. It might be an appropriate point just to mention, James, that you are thinking of stepping off the team now because of your baby coming along, which we can all see. Thank God. Thank you, Jude. But we really appreciate what you bring, James, and keep bringing it when you can. And if you're able to, always welcome to bring that kind of thing. We really appreciate it. We had the weekend away, which again, the team worked really hard to put on, which was a fantastic family time, a really good strengthening time down in Ashburnham, where there was so much joy, so much laughter, so much fun. And yet God spoke to so many too. Really good. Thank you again, team, for putting that on. And healing on the streets obviously started. We've done that 3 times now. The first person we prayed for got healed in Larchfield. We haven't seen any direct miracles yet on the street, but we've seen one lady give her life back to Jesus. We prayed for about 10 people. And who knows what the Lord is doing in their lives right now, even as we stand here. And it feels good to be out. Every time we go out, it feels better. We feel more at home there and more joyful and more confident in offering the healing of our God on the streets of Maidenhead. It's good to do. Really good. And I'm so grateful for Kerry in particular for pushing that through and getting it going. Thank you, Kerry. It's fantastic. And Christianity Awareness Week. What an amazing week we had. What an incredible week we had. And we saw some immediate fruit of that for the week afterwards. You know, we saw the 60 young people in this room at church meeting who would never have ever stepped into a church meeting otherwise, because of Lindsay and what the work he does up in Manchester. He came here for a week. And we had a concert at the end of the week with over 800, 900 people. 400 people couldn't get tickets. And a few hundred responded and were given Bibles. A few hundred young people, 14, 15-year-olds, were given Bibles. A few hundred. And schools workers and teachers said they'd never seen anything like it in their lives. These are schools workers that have been working in schools for 20-plus years. That is incredible. I still live in the joy of that. I really rejoice in that. So I just want to thank you guys for this year. It's been hard work. I've been getting used to a lot extra stuff as well. But it's been a joy to lead you guys. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for your generosity. It's been a joy and a privilege to lead you. So this year. But what do we see for 2011? What do we see for 2011? I'll ask you that question seriously. When you're looking ahead now to the rest of this year, all 353 days, is it now, for Christmas? 363 days for Christmas. It's less than that, actually, isn't it? 357. But anyway, what do you see when you think of 2011? What do you see? Serious question. Because really, we only get energized to work for and to go after and to give into what we see, what we can envisage. We only build a house when we've put down plans and we can see what it's going to be like. We have to be able to envisage it in order to take the steps to get to the place of making it happen, don't we? So what do we see for 2011? What do you see for your life in 2011? What do you see for your family in 2011? What do you see for your street, for your home, for your neighbours, for our church? What do you see? I ask that question seriously, guys, and I want you to be praying into that this week as we gear up for next week's Testimony Sunday, Prophecy Sunday. Please ask yourself that question. Ask the Lord that question. Ask him to show you, what do I see? What do you see for 2011, Lord? What do you want me to see for 2011, Lord? What do you want to give me vision for in 2011, Lord? What do you want to give us vision for? Because I'd like to hear what the Lord puts on your heart next week. Will you do that for me? Will you pray this week? And if the Lord shows you anything, will you bring it next week to share with the rest of us? Yeah? Please do. Please do. Because, you know, prophecy is so important, what an important gift. And, you know, I spoke back in October, I think, about the gift of prophecy and how somehow combining what we see with our faith in the Lord somehow releases the power of heaven to make it happen. Because the Lord doesn't do anything unless he first shows it to his servants, the prophets. So let's shape 2011 next week. Let's shape it by what we see and what we speak out over one another, shall we? I'm excited by that. I really am. So what do I see? I just say I throw a few thoughts in because you might have gathered this is not a typical Sunday morning preach. So I'm going to apologize if you're a visitor. But I just felt it was a good thing to do at the start of the year. What do I see for 2011? Oh, better get on as well. Well, the church has changed a lot in recent years. You know, and I think particularly since 1990, I'm talking about the church, not just River Church, I'm talking about the church nationally in the UK. The church has changed almost beyond recognition in the last 16 years. If you think back to what it was like pre-1994, I get a big amen from Terry. Does anybody else see that? Do you see that? That's quite incredible. The church has changed almost beyond recognition from what it was 17 years ago. And of course we have the whole Toronto experience, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Father heart of God breaking upon us in that year and transforming a lot of churches up and down the country. And it impacted us, but not in maybe as big a way as it impacted some other churches. And Alpha sprang out of that. Alpha was re-energized and repackaged and relaunched out of that. And look what it's done. It's affected the whole nation and around the world. Massive changes have happened. The church is far more attractive today than it was 17 years ago. Do I hear anybody say amen to that? I think so. I think the church is more attractive now than it was 17 years ago. And I'm excited by that because I think there's something happening in the atmosphere. Things are shifting for us now. And I felt it for some time and I've got excited about living some of the things we've been learning together on our journey in River. I've got excited about and what I can see about what may come down the line, about this revival that I can see that people have talked about, a big revival that hits the West just like it's hitting South America, just like it's hitting Asia, just like it's hitting all these other places, China and places. I get excited about the possibility of a revival like that happening amongst us. And I can see it. I can see it. I don't know if that's going to happen in 2011, but I can see it coming. And I've seen it coming for a while. Because it's stirring my own heart. What I'm seeing in the church is actually, and the messages we're hearing is stirring my own heart, bringing revival to my own heart. And that's where it all begins. It's bubbling up in me. I hope it's bubbling up in you. I can see it coming. You know, Christian gave a talk, didn't he, at the River Together before Christmas, December the 5th. If you haven't heard that talk, please do, because he expressed something very similar to that. And I think it's an important message for us to listen to. And for me, Christianity Awareness Week was almost like the first fruits of that for us here. Other places are seeing other things and bigger and better things sometimes in places, but that was for us quite a significant deal to have 200 young people respond to the message of the gospel in one place at one time to come up and get a Bible. Come to church later, go to join their CUs at school. For me, that's exciting. That's exciting because that was the gospel being presented in a way which is attractive, meaningful, relevant, powerful, reasonable. And it was attractive to the majority, to a lot of people. And that's the way I see the gospel. I don't see it as designed for a minority people huddled away in a church on a Sunday morning. The good news is fantastic news for all. The angels announced, didn't they? For the shepherds. Good news for all men. I do believe it's supposed to be the joy of the world. When it's presented well, I think the gospel is the most attractive thing on the planet. Obviously, by my wife. But I do believe that. And Jesus himself said, didn't he? I, in John 12:32, he said, if I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Well, he was lifted up from the earth, wasn't he? On the cross. And he is drawing all men to himself. But if the church really grabs hold of what that means and lifts them up again today, I think we will see a greater drawing of men and women to him. That's just my heart belief. In this year, 2011, I want us to push in to lift Jesus higher. In this town, if we can, if it's possible. That's what I can see. I can see when we do that, more men and women are attracted to this message that we carry. I want us to play a part in bringing this revival that I can see in the Spirit coming. I want us to play a part in that. I don't know what part we will play. It may be small, it may be big. But I want to play, us to play as big a part, as much of a part as we can. It's quiet. It's just, you know, I'm excited by Sheila Wilson in Marlow, whose songs are sung by hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of young kids all over the country. Sung to her parents, sung to teachers. I heard one on the radio just before Christmas, as I listened to Chris Evans in the morning. So millions of people heard it that morning. And it was so well received, he played it again later that morning. You see, those songs are changing the atmosphere, because those songs are beautiful songs. They are powerful songs. They are written by a lady who's filled with the Holy Spirit, and her musicals that are performed in schools are very moving and full of truth, which will impact people and changes the atmosphere and enables things like our Christianity Awareness Week to happen, I think. I just see this all as part of the same thing, the shifting in the atmosphere. And we can play a part. You know, we can speed it up or we can slow it down. We can bring that revival forward or we can push it back. We're like the Israelites standing on the verge of entering the promised land. God says, go in, take possession of the land. And so, oh no, we can't. There are too many giants. Too many big guys. Too many guys bigger than me. I spent most of my life being afraid of guys that are bigger than me when I was growing up. Because I was very slim. I used to be very slim. You may find that hard to believe. But when God is with you, there's no need to fear. And we know, we can say, look, Colin, what are you talking about? Why are you talking like this? Why are you gearing us up for another disappointment? Because we've been here before. But actually, they've been there before, and the second time round, they entered in. The second time round, they entered in, and they defeated the giants. The question is, will we enter in? Will we pay the price? That's the only question in my mind. Because I can see the revival coming. The question is, will we be the generation that ushers it in, or won't we? Or will we leave it to our kids? It's a costly thing. It's a very costly thing. So we've got to be as attractive a church as we possibly can be. Because I do want to impact this town, don't you? I want us to be a church which reaches a lot of people, not just a few people. I don't want us to be a holy huddle attracting religious people who like our meetings or who are just liking the way we talk about God or whatever here. I want us to be impacting people where it matters, in their homes, in their lives, in this town. Whether or not they come to church, you know, obviously I'd love them all to come to church, but I want us to be impacting them. To be the salt and light that Jesus asked us to be. And I believe we can be. We can be. If we work together, the Bible says there's nothing we can't do. God himself said that, didn't he? If we work together, there's nothing we can't do. So, let's be as attractive as we can. Let's work as a team. Let's pull in the same direction. And I've been thinking about that. Can you just put up the first... I should have started my talk a while ago now. I'm going to worry Kerry. I'll rush through it, Kerry, so that people won't be left hanging. But I've been thinking about that, you know, how can we pull together in the same direction? And one important thing to get right is our values. Can you just show the first slide? Because, you know, our values are important. What are we gathering around? Yes, we're gathering around the cross. Yes, we're gathering around who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. So every church in this town, I hope, if they call themselves a church of Jesus. But what is it that really is, that makes us who we are? And that, those things are our values, often that based upon our values, obviously our history too, they define us, help us know why we do what we do, help others understand us and help us keep moving in the same direction. So these are important. And I've been thinking a bit about this recent months since taking on the leadership of River, and I just thought we'd revisit them, review them, because they change over time, our values. I don't know if you've noticed that. Who can remember our values back in the 90s? You can. You were on the leadership team when I did this talk a couple of weeks ago. Anybody remember our values in the 90s? No. Oh, it's four something. Four R's. Now we're getting there. Yeah, it was. Can you remember what any of the R's were? Relational. Resource. Reaching out. What? Radical. Yes. Well done, guys. Very impressed. Next slide, please. There you are. You didn't put that up, did you?
No.
I'm very impressed. But those four R's helped us to get our heads around who we were and what we were doing. And they did play a part in helping shaping what we were about in that time. In more recent times, you know, we've been galvanizing around the presence of God, which has been fantastic. And the power of God breaking in and healing, which has been wonderful. So we should skip through the next one. But now I want us to think about how we shape our values today. Can you just go on one more slide, please? That's it. Just leave it there a sec. And I've been thinking about what our values should be, what our values have evolved into, how I see them. And I shared it with our leadership team. I'd just like to share it with you. Any guesses what our values might be? What might be number one value? Give the man a biscuit. Okay, hit that first button. Love. For me, you know, that has to be our prime value. And it's something that we have been moving into more and more. Because the gospel is all about love. I told you that recently. It's all about love. God is love. God is looking for lovers. By our love for one another, that's how we'd be recognized as his disciples. Yeah, it goes on and on and on. Love the Lord your God. That's the most important command. Love each other. That's the second most important command. If you haven't got love, you're nothing. So basically, if I don't want to be nothing, that has to be my number one. If I can only have one value, that has to be it. Otherwise, I'm nothing. 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah? So what any other values do you think we might have? No, I didn't put grace there. I think, because I've covered, I kind of, love is such a big topic. I haven't got time to go into it this morning. But, you know, grace is a part of love in my kind of book. Honor is a good one, very good. But I haven't put that one in my list. Nope. Forgiveness is a fantastic one. Nope. Okay, let me help you. Passion, yeah, it's a good one. I've obviously misheard what the Spirit was saying. I'm keeping it simple. I'm keeping it as one. No, but if you listen to me speak, or if you've read what I've written in the Complete Life, then you'll know the second one. Right. Now, there's a vacancy going for a leader of a church nearby. Someone who can communicate to people. Yeah. Yeah, okay, got the first one. Fantastic. Well, Lord Jesus. What do I say the bride must be? The bride must be loving and... powerful. You got that, did you? You knew that. Good. I knew that. You were just joking with me, weren't you? Yeah. Love and power. You know, love and power is, power is important. It is important for us to know the power of God in our lives. If we don't know the power of God in our lives, how are we going to take the power of God to other people? How are we going to actually offer them anything apart from a cuddle? Now don't get me wrong, a cuddle is an appropriate cuddle is a good thing. But power, the power of the gospel, the power to save, the power to transform, the power to set free, this has to be one of our core values. And to me, that kind of sums up the presence of God. Then we come into the presence of God. In the presence of God, we experience, we have a transaction with the Father. He takes away the stuff that we need to get rid of, the rubbish, and he gives us good stuff, powerful stuff. His power is toward us, it says in Ephesians 1. His power is working in us, it says in Ephesians 3. And we're to be strong in that power, it says in Ephesians 6. Of that power of God. God, that's why we do the HOTS thing, to go out on the streets. We believe, we've seen miracles happen in this room. We've seen miracles happen in one another's homes when we pray for the sick. Not every time, but we see them. And we want others to experience that and to know that we've seen it and give them a chance to experience it on the street too. Because we know when someone is touched by the power of God, the questions are much harder for them. They don't all immediately react in a way you might expect, but they have a lot of questions to answer. So power is an important one. I'm never going to finish my talk today, Kerry. But anyway. Can we have the next bit then? The love and power. And the next bit. See, but that's not good enough, really. Because if you have just love and power, it still leaves a lot of people in jail. Many people see God as an angry, omnipotent lawgiver. And that's just a caricature. I know I'm presenting a caricature there, but a lot of people are bound up by their caricatures of God and of church and of religion. And they don't even get to the point of seeking because they're so offended by the caricature, they think it's not worth looking at. Yeah, do you understand what I mean? So they never get, you wouldn't believe some of the sneers we get actually on the high street offering to pray for the sick. Because the people are in jail. They have this really caricatured view of what Christ is like, and the love never hits them. We have to demolish that. We have to break people out of jail. We have to be strong in breaking people out of jail. Because God is nothing like that. We don't see God that way, do we? At all, if we did, it'd be a miserable church. We see God as a loving Father, first and foremost. Not angry all the time. Angry, yes, when things hurt us, when we do things which hurt ourselves or others, but not angry all the time, but loving and kind and gentle, generous for us, not against us. So we need our gospel to be reasonable. So let's go on. And that, one more. So we've got to have a reasoned faith as well, a sound mind. That puts me in mind of that verse in Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. That wasn't a holiday. We used to sing that. That was a great song. We used to march up and down. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Didn't we? No? Oh, yeah, we did. We had to do the actions. Yeah, that was a good song. Sound mind. Can we go on one more? And for me, part of having a sound mind is knowing that God is good all the time. We know that, don't we? God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. We know that God is a loving Father. We know that God is not the instigator of evil or suffering. He doesn't plan it, he doesn't design it, he doesn't want it, and in the end he's going to get rid of it. But most people don't know that. They think that God has planned all the suffering and all the evil, and that's where the openness comes in. Because openness talks about God being open, allowing these things to happen, not dictating them, not running the universe like a dictator, but actually allowing them to happen because he's a loving God and allows people to do what they like, gives them real freedom. And that's important to people in this day and age. You know, that is still important. Still very important. Because most people, thinking people, if you read their arguments for dismissing God, will always bring up, if God is all powerful and God is all loving, how come the world is in such a mess? I'm sorry, that's still one of the number one arguments if they're thinking about these things. In fact, we were talking about Christianity Awareness Week. Just a couple of weeks before Christmas, Sadie and I fostered, you know, our foster daughter came in with a friend, and she said, oh, here's the man I want you to speak to this other girl. And I thought, okay, well. And this 14-year-old girl comes into my house, and she said, I'm thinking about going back to church again. I said, oh, that's fantastic. She said, yeah. I said, had this group called LZ7 come to our school. And they talked really sensibly about God. She didn't use the gospel, about God, about Jesus. She talked really sensibly. I used to go to church when I was younger, she said. She's only 14. I used to go to church, but I'd written God off. Because a lot of bad things happened when I was 10 years old. A lot of stuff happened, and I couldn't place how God could let those things happen. And yet, in talking, in having the gospel presented in a reasonable way to her, and having her questions answered reasonably, she said, now I want to go back to church. People who say that this generation do not want reasoned argument, do not want to have good answers to their questions are talking nonsense. They say we're in a post-modern generation where people don't think. It is nonsense. We still think. We may frame our questions differently. We maybe have different questions, but we still think. We still need them answered. And she needed hers answering, and she got good answers. And that's made her go back to church, which is fantastic. So I want to build our values in this season around these things. Can we go on? I know it's the Olympics in 2012, but I want us to go for gold now. Goodness, openness, love, and dynamism, or power. Dunamis, the Greek word, is dynamite power, the dynamite power of God. I'd like us to go for gold in everything we do, to weave these values into all that we are and all that we do, because I believe these values really add life to us, to what we do, to where we're going. They have brought life to me in recent years, and I think they bring life to the church. I haven't got time really to go into why I see these bringing life. I maybe mention a little bit next week in our test, if there's time in our testing meeting, but just so you can see, I thought a little bit more about this. If we go on, you know, these things affect the way we see God. Because we know that God is good all the time. And that's that wonderful song by Godfrey Bertel. Blessed are the people who know that God is good. Why are you blessed if you know that God is good? Why are you blessed if you know that God is good? Because you're a crazy man and you know God is good. You're a crazy man. God is with you. God is for you. God is not against you. You take greater risks. You seek greater answers to prayer. You see greater things happen. It's the sound of revival. God is open. There's a war going on in heaven. Not a war of power. Not a war of, because God, if it was a war of power, God would squish the devil just like that and it'd be over. But it's a war of ideas, a war of words that has been waged, and we're caught up in the middle of that. And it's necessary for God to, the Almighty God, to limit his power, to give away freedom, for there to be love to exist. God is love. He's a Trinitarian God. Father loves the Son. Son loves the Spirit. Spirit loves the Father. And give freedom to one another. They give freedom to their creatures too. God is love. Those who live in love live in God. And God is dynamic. He works in all things for good, the Bible tells us. And when Jesus came, he came to destroy the works of the evil one. His works were to do those things that God had sent him to do. Heal the sick, cast out demons, release the captives, set the oppressed free. So in all things, we want to do these things. That affects the way we see God, these values. It affects the way we do our leadership. If you just skip through the next three slides, I haven't got time. It affects the way we do our pastoring. See, it affects the way we do our evangelism. We bring in these values into every area of life, I do believe. We do that already. We're growing in these areas already. But I think the more we grow, the more fruit we will see, the more life we will see. It's my opinion. I hope you can see that. But I'm excited by going for gold in this season. I am excited by going for gold. So, forget my notes then. I am convinced that when we apply these values, we'll see greater life. We'll see more nights, more weeks like we did see in Christianity Awareness Week. There's something shifting in the heavenlies over this nation. And it does, if it revolves around these things. There's a greater awareness now of God's love in the church in the UK generally, not just amongst us. You go to lots of churches now. I heard it on the radio just before Christmas. More people are talking about the love of God than about the judgment of God. Christians are finally waking up to the fact it's not our job to tell people what they should and shouldn't do, but just to let them know how wonderful God is and what a great difference he makes in our lives. And that's attractive. So I'd like us to resolve to work these values, to knead them into our lives, like you knead yeast into dough, to knead them in. Knead them into our hearts, into our lives, into the things that we are, the things that we do. And just close our eyes again. I'd like to finish by just reminding us of what they are and what it means for us. To go for gold. Because God goes for gold. Because God is good. Whoever you are this morning, why ever you came, whatever you've done, whatever you're planning to do, God loves you. God is good. He has good plans for you. He has plans to give you hope and a future. He's working in your life to try and bring about good right now. Right now. Feel the weight of that. God is working in every circumstance in your life right now. The Almighty Creator of heaven and earth is working to bring good for you, for your loved ones. Right now. But God is open. He's not dictating to this universe. He's giving us freedom, freedom to choose. And when we choose to pray, when we pray, we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. We're inviting him to work in our lives. We see, and when it's no coincidence that when we pray those prayers, we see more of God in our lives. We see more good things happen when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. You try it. If you've not tried that before, try it. Try praying the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Try praying it every day and see what difference it makes. Because I guarantee the more you pray it, the more you will see God work in your life because you're giving him permission to. And God loves to work in partnership with us, not dictate to us. So God is open, gives us real freedom. The question is, how will we use our freedom? What choices will we make for 2011? And I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions here. But what choices will we make now for 2011? How will we use the freedom that God gives us this year? Will we work as hard as we can to speed the coming king, to speed the coming revival, to speed the coming kingdom? What choices can we make that make a difference? And God is love. Whoever you are this morning, you need to know. And one of the things I love about healing on the streets is being able to look into people's eyes, no matter who they are, perfect strangers, and tell them that God loves them. And this morning, if we had time, I'd love for us all, we could do that to one another in a minute when we open our eyes, but just to look into each other's eyes and actually say, God loves you. Because that's a very powerful thing. We look deep into the windows of the soul and speak that truth. Jesus Christ loves you with an undying love. Let that impact your heart at the end of today. And God is dynamic. He's not idle. He's not just standing off at a distance, but his power is toward us. It's working in us. It's available to us. We are to be strong in it. Strong in prayer. At the end of that passage in Ephesians, Paul talks about praying on all occasions for all the saints. Because prayer is the way we access that power primarily. Because as I said, it's about agreeing with the Almighty God that his kingdom should come, that his will should be done. Not resisting, not rebelling. But agreeing with him and saying, I love your will to be done in my life, Lord, because your will is good. It's pleasing. It's perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to meditate on these values. Help us to lay hold of them, to lay hold of your goodness, to lay hold of your openness, your gentleness. To lay hold of your love, and to lay hold of your power. Help us. Now ask the Holy Spirit which of those values you're strong in and which you would like to grow in. Lord, you're an amazing God. You've done so many wonderful things for us. You've done so many marvellous things in us. Our hearts are fit to bursting, Lord God, because of the goodness that you've shown us, the mercy, the love, the kindness, the joy, the life you've given us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to lay hold of more of you. Take us from one degree of glory to another today. Help us to assimilate a little bit more of the gold that you place within us. A little bit more of that gold. Help us to see the gold in one another, to draw it out. Help us to see the gold in our neighbours, in our colleagues, in the town. Help us to see it, Father. To work with gold, to draw out gold. To lift up Jesus Christ as high as possible in this place. Because Jesus, we believe you died for all men, not willing that any should perish. Help us, Lord Jesus. We can't do anything by ourselves. We need your grace. Thank you for your Spirit. It's not because we've earned anything at all, but because you're a generous God who gives freely to all without finding fault. Thank you. Thank you. So whatever you need right now, reach out and take in faith. It's not presumption, it's faith. It's saying, Lord, I know you long to give us good things. I need to receive more from you this morning. More love. More power. Greater wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Kerry.
Amen. Thank you, Colin. Just show our appreciation to Colin for that word. Thank you.